Say again.
Control that small. It's not big enough.
Okay. That's Evelyn. How the rest of you doing? Where's your wife?
She's having stomach issues still.
Stomach?
We did an upper GI Wednesday. They found that she does have a small ulcer.
Imagine that.
Gastritis, possible Barrett's syndrome, or Barrett's esophagus, and they want to do a study to see how fast food passes through her stomach.
Sure.
Because it's not going as fast as it should, apparently, which irritates the upper GI.
Sure.
And then they want to do a lower GI.
Lovely.
Yeah. But they have given her some prescription medications that's helping.
Good. Where would we be without drugs?
Better living.
Probably, yeah. Probably better off. Anyone else? Keep my wife and myself in your prayers. It's been a long couple of weeks. My kids are traveling on vacation, like 12 hours from here in Ely, Minnesota. So, travel mercies for them. Anything else that we can bring before the throne? Let's pray. Father, we're grateful that you give us strength each day to do the things you've called us to do. We're thankful for just being able to come to you when things go south. We don't quite understand why, but we know that you are in control of the events of our life. So your purpose, your plan is why these things happen to us. Again, I don't see everything like you do, but I am grateful that I can trust that what you're doing is for our benefit and for your glory. And I am grateful for that. Father, you know our needs before we speak them. Your word says, before there was a word on our tongue, you knew everything before it would happen. And we know it pleases you. So I pray that as we bring our requests before you, we bring them in the spirit intended, glorifying you through our weakness, through the circumstances of our life, so that you would receive that glory. I pray for Helen and her granddaughter. I pray that you would instruct the doctors on how best to treat this condition that she has. I pray for Glenda and the weakness in her knee and the discomfort that she has, and I pray that you would strengthen her body, Father. I pray for Chris and the physical issues that she has. You know her. You know what she's going through. And again, we don't always understand why, but we know it's for a purpose. I just pray that you would strengthen her. Pray for Jared and Sarah as they travel and rest for a week. pray for safety and for a time of resting. Father, today as we look to your word, I pray that nothing be taught here that is contrary to it or to your will, but that you would receive all glory in our pursuit. We thank you, Father, for everything you bring our way. We have great joy in knowing that your hand is involved. Help us to be people that don't see the circumstances, but have the joy in knowing that you are in it. That's the joy that you want us to have, a joy in you. We thank you, Father, for this time and ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. You will need your Bibles. Am I on? Oh, I see. That's better. That's better. I can hear me. I either need a bigger ear or staples. How's that? Is that better? That's better. Okay. Huh? I'm ready. Do we have duct tape? Okay. We've been talking, and I would like to finish today and start a new lesson next week. So we are going to be finishing. I've got a lot of scripture, and I'm understanding that Jeff has helped along the way here. I'm so grateful that he has a copy of this and is able, believe me, to pick up the slack when I can't be here.
We did put this on the website today.
Very good. So, no excuses. It's there if you have a computer. Today, we're going to do maybe a little bit of review, but we're going to cover a lot of scripture and a lot of examples in regards to God's power. That's what we've been talking about. It is the end of all things. His power is the final say, the final direction for our lives. If you're here and you believe that your circumstances are beyond his grasp, you need to take another hard look at your God. And that's what this process has been about. The power of God is exercised or demonstrated first and foremost in weakness. This is apropos today because I'm feeling a little weak. I've spent 2 weeks on all kinds of drugs trying to get rid of this thing. And it's this is the first day I felt actually like doing something. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Helen, are you there?
Yes.
I would like you to read verses 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians. Are you all right? Bless you. It's all right. 9 and 10.
Should I just start with 8?
That's fine. Really? Do you believe that? I mean, it's scripture. We just read it. But is that something that is ingrained in your daily walk? I'm sorry?
It's not in our society. We don't accept it. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like we think we should be strong on our own.
regardless, yeah, bootstrap theology. It's a difficult thing until God in his wisdom puts you flat on your back and you realize just how weak you are in the flesh. You can still pray. You can still seek his face. You can still read. Those things have been a comfort to me over the past couple of weeks and the past decade, knowing that regardless of my condition, if I can read, if I can pray, I gain strength and power that I don't have trying to do this on my own. How many of you can heal yourself? It's an impossibility. You cannot. You have to seek the one who has made you, who knows how you're built. His purpose in that, his purpose with Paul in this passage of Scripture, he implored God on three separate occasions to take this thorn in the flesh away from him. And God said, what? Sure, child, I'll take care of it. No, he didn't. What did he say?
He said, my grace is sufficient.
It's sufficient. It's enough. You have enough in me, in my grace. In my flesh, I think, well, that's not fair. I come to you expecting miracles. We have a genie in a bottle mentality sometimes when it comes to our God, that we will rub the lamp, the genie will come out, and we will be healed. Things will be made perfect. Not in this life. Not in this life. The great joy we have is looking forward, knowing that there will be a day when these ailments that we suffer through here will be gone. Our bodies will be perfect, just as they were intended to be. The next passage of Scripture is simplicity and clarity. Keep in mind, this is how God's power is exercised and demonstrated. In simplicity and in clarity, rather than in human sophistication and persuasion. In simplicity, rather than some sophisticated plan that we cook up. Cheryl, if you would read I'm not going to make you read it all. I'm not. Let's look at 2 Corinthians since we're there. Pretty much the same passage. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1. Yeah. Just a little bit back. Let's look at 1 through 9, if you would read that for us.
Paul called to the apostles of Jesus, of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes.
Yeah.
To the church of God of Corinth, to those sanctified.
Sanctified.
Excuse me.
That's all right. Talking about grace being sufficient. Paul just reestablishes that point here in a few verses. in an introduction to this first letter to the Corinthians. Moving on. In the simple, God is exercising his power and demonstrating it in the simple proclamation of the gospel. Carol, would you read Romans 1:16? Thank you, Carol. When you see the word power, underline it in your Bibles. Salvation is the power of God to those of us who believe. And it goes on to talk about to the Jew and to the Greek. Let's look at the exercise of spiritual gifts. God's power is demonstrated in the exercise of spiritual gifts. Would you like to read? Gary, would you look at Ephesians 3:7 for us? It's the second letter in the epistles, letters. 3:7. According to the gift of God's grace, talking about the exercise of those gifts in relation to his power. By prayer, Jeff, would you look at Ephesians chapter 3, 14 through 21. Paul starts off this doxology by saying, for this reason I bow my knee. What's the reason? If you look back a little bit earlier in the book of Ephesians, what reason makes Paul bow his knees before the Father? Paul was a minister to the Gentiles. We know that the Jews were the chosen people of God. But Paul was sent by God, by Jesus Christ, to minister to those who were alienated, strangers, us, okay? And he says, for this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by power, by his power, through his spirit in the inner man. The demonstration of God's power here is what he's talking about. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, and to be filled up with all the fullness of God. We could probably spend a couple of weeks on this passage alone. Because if you get that, if you understand why God chose Paul to do this, this is it. It wasn't without purpose. It was to share that mystery of Christ with those who were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. that we would have a chance, that we would have an opportunity to be his children. It's a big deal. Absolutely. Absolutely. Without it, where would we be? Without his power working in us effectively, where would we be? We wouldn't. We would be hopeless. We would be without hope. By prayer. Ephesians, we just did that. By dying daily and thus being conformed to Christ's death. This is how the power of God is demonstrated and exercised. I'm going to read several passages here. I will give you the references, but I have them printed out. In Romans 9:22, he says, "What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" In Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Power. We're talking about power here. Something that we need to get plugged into. In Romans 15:18-19, "For I will not presume to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, and in power of signs and wonders in the power of the Spirit, so that from Jerusalem and around about as far as Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, "For the word of the cross is to those who are perishing foolishness, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And in 1 Corinthians 1:24, "But those who are the called, both Jew and Greek, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." Power and wisdom. First Corinthians 4:19, Paul says, "But I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power." He was being chastised as not having the authority of an apostle. He says, "Okay, let them speak, but show me their power. Where is their power? Where does it come from, and how effective is it?" In 1 Corinthians, and we did this, in 1 Corinthians 5:4, he says, "In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are assembled, I with you in spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ." This gathering has power. He was saying this to those who he was writing the letter to. When you gather together, you have power that you don't have separately. In 1 Corinthians 6:14, "Now God has not only raised the Lord, but he will also raise up through us up through his power." Do you see a pattern arising here? Something about power, something about God's power being effective and working in us. In 1 Corinthians 15:24, "Then comes the end, when he delivers up the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power here on this earth." This is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:43, "It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in" what? Power. In 2 Corinthians 6:5, it says, "In beatings and imprisonments and tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness and in hunger, the word of truth in the power of God by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left. Power given to us by our God. In Ephesians 1, 19 through 21, he says, Paul says, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of his strength and his might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also the age to come. Power. Power. In Ephesians 3:7, of which I was made minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. We're not doing this as a ritual. We're not doing this without a purpose. We go through this life, we live this life with a purpose, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's our purpose, to be conformed, to be like Jesus Christ. But we don't do it in our strength. It's by the working of his power. In Philippians 3:21, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of his power that he has given to subject all things to himself. In 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power by the Holy Spirit with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. In 2 Thessalonians 1:9, he says, to this end we also pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Where did I leave off here? In 2 Thessalonians, and we did that. Here we go. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or me, his present prisoner, but join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. That concept should not escape us. But join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. In our suffering, we do this according to his power. We suffer, we are enabled to suffer through God's power. You want to talk about a concept that is lost on the world? This is it. That even in our suffering, he receives glory, and it's purposed unto us to do it. 2 Timothy 3:5, holding a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. God saves us by his power. The kingdom of God and his power. He says in 1 Corinthians 4:19 and 20, he says, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. That's a repeat. of a passage of scripture I read just a few moments ago. God's power in the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, "For the word of the cross is to those that who are perishing foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." 1 Corinthians 1:18. Great passage of scripture. We are not done by any stretch. 1 Corinthians 1:24. "But to those who are the called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." We heard that earlier, right? Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. God's power is manifested in the resurrection. It is manifested through the Scripture. God's power through the Holy Spirit is made manifest. And I would read Romans 15:13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit." In the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe wholeheartedly that we ignore the Holy Spirit's power. We do. We think of God the Father. We think of Christ, His Son. But the working of His power is manifested through His Spirit today. He is the third person of the Trinity, equal with God the Father and God the Son, having different jobs, so to speak. In Romans 15:18 and 19, "For I will not presume to speak anything except that Christ has accomplished through me, resulting in the obedience of the Gentiles by word and deed, in power and signs and wonders, in the power of the Spirit, that from Jerusalem and around as far as Illyricum," we did this just a few moments ago, I'm repeating myself so you understand how powerful this message is, "I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." God's power and human weakness we have discussed. I'm here. You're here. Not by your own strength, but by His power. We would be negligent if we did not reference God's power in those who oppose God and His servants. In Romans 9:22, we read this just a few moments ago. "What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and make His power known," which would be what some of us would do if we had that power, we would show it off. We wouldn't be patient with those who oppose us. We would want to show them how powerful we are. "But what if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and make known His power, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" We have to go to 9:22. If you open your Bibles to Romans 9:22, there's more there that we need to look at. I think we stop at 8 sometimes, go through the end of the chapter, and we go, wow, there's a whole lot more in Romans through chapter 16. And I think we really take hold of. "What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction?" And he continues, "And He did so to make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy," us. He endured all the slander that the world brings. He endured with much patience all those things that we see going around us, all the corruption in high places on this planet, he has endured with much patience so that he could make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy. He has chosen to stay his power so that he can make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand in glory. Have you ever thought this thought? Lord Jesus, come quickly. Today, I can't stand anymore. Well, that's great. You're redeemed. You understand where your future lies. But what about those who don't know? It is God's mercy that he waits for that time when they believe. Beforehand ordained, but for that time when they believe and accept what Christ has sacrificed for them. So he endures the slander, the accusations, all of that. This is our God. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. You are here because he had mercy and waited for you to say, I believe. Now, what about those who haven't come to that realization yet? There will come a day when that patience will be complete, and he will take us away. Imagine the world that is left. With no mercy, with no construct of the Holy Spirit holding back evil, caring for his children, because we are as much children of the Holy Spirit of God if we believe in a triune God as we are God the Father or God the Son. It's a powerful passage of scripture. He concludes in verse 24. He says, even us, even me, you can put your me there, even me, whom he also called, not from among the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. This is powerful stuff. This is stuff that keeps you walking. This is stuff that keeps you standing firm, knowing that God is in charge. His all-powerful hand is holding you up. Verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power, underline power, of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or to the Gentile or to the pagan, put or to Mark or to Helen or Cheryl or Gary, all of us. It is the power of God to those who believe. Romans 1:20. For since creation, the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that we are without excuse. I was without excuse in my sin when Christ got a hold of me. Had I died, hypothetically, I would have burned in hell forever. But by his mercy, he gave me a knowledge of who he was and what my position was. And I'll go back to Romans 9:17. He says, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power, underline my power, in you, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. Passage from Exodus. So what do we know of the power of God? How powerful is our God? What have we learned about God's power? I agree with that. What does it mean to you personally? Because it is God's power that holds this together, that holds you together. What does it mean to you personally? If we don't have, if this is just an exercise in learning verses, then we've learned nothing. If this affects the way we walk, if this affects how you get up tomorrow morning and what you do, then it's had its effect. It's had a perfect result. Yes?
Well, since we are filled with this Holy Spirit, then all that power is God.
Okay. Then why? Well, you said it's a truth. What you've said is truth. He indwells us. If that's the case, and I believe it is, I'm not questioning that, why do we struggle so much? Okay. Okay. How do we overcome that? Can you do it? I can't do it. His power. We've talked about, what did we have, 15, 20 passages of Scripture that talked about His power working in us. His power manifested in our weakness. If we think we're strong, we nullify God working through us with His power. That's the way it works. Paul had to learn, I'm sure, a difficult lesson. I would like to get rid of the thing in my head. Okay? I think about it often. I don't know if I dwell on it daily, but I think about it often. Anybody who's gone through chemo, I'm sure that your daughter can explain some of this to you, because you have to grab onto something. You do. Anyone who's had this disease, and I don't know if you can call it a disease, it's a malfunctioning of cells that go awry. I guess it's a disease. That's like how we define a disease. Anyone who's had this, though, it changes you. It changes your walk. Your mortality is made clear. You know, someday I'm going to have to stand before Him, and maybe sooner than I thought. My son, I'm sure, is convinced he's going to live forever. Okay? I did. And the older I get, I see how frail this life is. And I wouldn't be here thinking those things had God not graciously given me this cancer. Because, you know, I can be pretty arrogant. I can be pretty prideful. I know where my faults lie. And I'm so grateful each day that the Spirit of God enables me to do what I can do. Whether it's work, whether it's mowing the grass, I don't care what it is. Are we there? Next week, we are going to start an exposition of the goodness of God. We've talked about His power. We've looked at His attributes. Next week, pardon me, we start the process of looking at His goodness, which I will guarantee you will be worth your time here. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful that Your power sustains us. Even as Your children, when we're obedient, is lacking, You sustain us. You don't take your spirit from us. You don't take salvation from us. You don't take away those things you have freely given. And we are grateful. Father, I hope that today we have a better understanding of your power and your mercy and your gentleness toward us. Prepare our hearts for what we're going to do next week, for your word talking to us about your goodness toward us. Thank you, Father, for this time. I thank you for blessing it. I give my praise to you, my gratitude to you in Jesus' name. Amen.